Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. As you well know, it's like a dream come true for me to be able to spend some time with you, and especially because I get to introduce you to really smart people. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about our Brain Trust members. And if you've been listening to my show very long, you know what I'm talking about. You know how dedicated, how great, how smart, how savvy, how up to the moment sharp these guys are, men and women, and of our Brain Trust. And nobody fits that profile, fits that description, more than our good friend Chuck Cadlick. Charles Cadlick is Managing Director of J&W Seligman, the author of Dow 100,000, which I'm going to get him to talk to us about in just a minute. But more importantly, he's our good friend Chuck Cadlick. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, I'm delighted to be back. Thanks very much for having me.
It's good to have you back. Okay, we're going to, and by the way, folks, one of the reasons Chuck is here, and I'm really glad he is, because he's got some really important information for you and me with regard to the Pension Protection Act, which is really designed to be a big advantage for small business owners. But Chuck, I want to get into a couple of things before we get into that, before we get over into that those weeds a little bit. Which, and folks, it's not going to be too weedy. It's going to be stuff that you can use, I promise you. And when Chuck says it, it'll be in plain English. So Chuck, Dow 100,000, what do you think?
Well, the rest of the title was fact or fiction. We always have to be, tracking whether we're on track or not on track. There's two things going on right now. Short term, we have a lot of monetary uncertainty. That means we have inflation, right? Mm-hmm. And the troubling thing is it looks like the economics profession in general and the Federal Reserve Central Bank of the United States specifically has learned nothing, absolutely nothing from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So we're repeating some of those mistakes that we made in the 70s. For example, they continue to blame inflation on economic activity as if people going to work causes inflation. It's preposterous. It's actually just the reverse. Inflation slows the economy. Inflation slows the economy. When you have stable prices, when interest rates are low, it's easier to get business done and more business gets done. That's why we had high growth in the 90s when inflation was low, and now with inflation accelerating because of bad monetary policy.
And you think it's because they've been too accommodative with the money supply?
That's exact. Well, remember, it's the supply and demand.
Yeah.
Actually, the Fed has not been – the supply has not grown that much of money, but they keep jawboating down the dollar.
Right.
Why would you own a currency if you think it's going to fall? And all over the world, people – you know, a little bit here and a little bit there are avoiding dollars in favor of euros and even the Chinese.
And the currency landscape is much more complicated and sophisticated today than it was 10, 20 years ago, especially with the advent of the euro, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's a competitor to the dollar, and so we're held far more responsible more quickly for bad policy. And one of the things you have is to talk down your currency, which makes your population, makes all of us poorer because our currency buys less.
It's worth less. Yeah. I was literally just talking to an antique dealer yesterday, who was telling me about he's basically out of business now because he used to go to Europe and buy antiques and ship them over here in container lots. I mean, literally containers a month, one a month, and he said he's been out of business now for a while because he can't justify the currency exchange, and he's a local antique dealer. But you know, the other challenge that we've got is the conflict between our federal bank, our national bank, the Fed, and ECB, the European Central Bank, the ECB, because they have a mandate to fight inflation. We don't have a mandate against inflation or the growth of the economy, but we try to balance those. But the European Union because they're fighting inflation, they're tightening up their monetary supply, raising their interest rates, and that's making their currency more valuable than ours.
Yeah, actually, the euro, they haven't raised interest rates yet. They maintain very stable interest rates relative to the U.S. over the last 3 or 4 years, and their currency has been more stable. In other words, if the dollar hadn't fallen against the euro, if our dollar was as good as the euro, oil prices today would be under $100 a barrel.
Yeah,
barrel.
Yeah. But Chuck, a lot of
this oil spike isn't caused by greedy oil companies or global demand. Some of it is. But a lot of it's caused by the fall in the value of the dollar, which is another way to say prices are going up.
And up until the euro, we really never had a competitive currency like this before, have we?
That's right. And so in the 70s, we took the whole world down a double-digit inflation path.
Yeah, yeah.
This time, the world's not following us quite so.
They're not going with it. There is a decoupling in from that standpoint, then, isn't there?
Yep.
Stand by. Chuck Cadillac, folks. We're going to get into the Pension Protection Act right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. They're yours. We built them for you. That's the reason we made them free. No challenge to get in at all. No barrier to entry. You don't have to give us your email address or anything unless you subscribe to my newsletter. Everything else, just wander in there and use our stuff and to your advantage. Chuck Cadillac is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Charles Cadillac, the managing director of J&W Seligman and Company. Chuck, before we get into the Pension Protection Act, I just want to get you to wrap up a little bit on the economy. Some people think that the ECB, the European Central Bank, is going to raise rates this week, and if they do that, that's going to make their currency more valuable to investors, currency investors, than ours is, because there'll be a better yield on their bonds, right?
Yeah, but also remember, when it increases it makes the bonds more interesting for investors, but less interesting for borrowers.
Right.
So you really don't know which way it cuts. In other words, if you think about it, the countries with the strongest currencies have the lowest interest rates, not the highest interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's the traditional view, and to the extent it does lead to a better balancing supply and demand of euros, it will strengthen the currency. I think any central bank that takes the lead now to defend the buying power of their currency is good. It will force the Fed to pay more attention to that. And this whole idea that somehow the Fed needs to continue to let the dollar fall in order to stimulate the U.S. economy is actually backwards. The most important thing it could do right now is to strengthen the dollar, which would bring down oil prices.
How would they do that?
It would actually help the economy get its, stabilized and then grow going forward.
What steps would they need to take to strengthen the dollar?
Well, first of all, is they talked about the importance of that, but then they didn't follow up with any specific action. So what you have to do is first you have to say it's important, and then you have to do things like slow the growth in the monetary base, intervene a little bit on the margin. At the extreme, a coordinated intervention with the Treasury and the European Central Bank.
So what would that mean? What would they do?
Be quite good.
Well, how would they do that, though?
The Fed has monetary assets. It has Treasury bills in its portfolio.
Right.
And it sells them into the open market and contracts the monetary base.
Right.
It's an open market operation.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of supplying dollars, they actually contract modestly the monetary base. And if they were to do that, people would see we're serious about defending our currency.
So instead of just jawboning like they did about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they actually took those steps. I believe if they took those steps you're talking about, and if there was one just small movement by our Congress, our government, saying that we're going to consider allowing offshore drilling or something like that, I think both of those two things in tandem would have a significant downward pressure on gas prices. What do you think? Oil prices?
Absolutely. The oil prices today are set by not only supply and demand today, but anticipated supplies into the future, because people with oil in the ground respond to incentives, and they think that prices are going to fall, they will pump as fast as they can. If they think that prices are going to be rising faster than than the return they could get on money,
save them.
They're obviously not going to pump quite as much.
Yep.
So the fact that people in the Congress somehow think that we shouldn't be exploiting our natural resources and increase our dependence on the Middle Eastern suppliers it just doesn't make common sense.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It just doesn't make sense at all.
If nothing else,
at least it would employ Americans.
Right.
High-paying jobs. It would increase profits to American companies, which are owned by millions of people who are retired or otherwise saving and invested through mutual funds or 401ks and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we deny Americans the opportunity to compete and to increase our wealth and prosperity? Yes, I understand the environmental concerns, but we made it through Katrina with no ecological disaster.
Exactly. That was a major hurricane.
What evidence do we need the oil industry to figure out how to get oil out of under seas wells and also able to protect the ecology?
I completely agree, ladies and gentlemen. Now you know why we think Chuck's such a smart guy. Hey, Chuck, let's talk about this Pension Protection Act. Three big things, aren't there?
Yeah, look, it was passed in 2006. The implementing guidelines and stuff were issued by the Department of Labor late last year, and it has three benefits for small businessmen and women. First, it allows you to offer a better retirement solution for your employees, a better defined contribution solution like 401k. Second, it makes it a lot easier to implement a 401k. And then finally, and this is very important, it gives significant safe harbors for and reduces fiduciary risk for plan sponsors so that you can sleep at night even as you're doing a good thing for your employees because you don't have to worry as much about being sued if markets don't go exactly as people might think over the short run.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Should we take an order?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, first, better solution. Breakthrough in the Pension Protection Act is it really said there's really more than one dimension to risk, that it's not prudent if you're 25 or 30 years old to have all your money in a money market fund or in a stable value fund.
Right.
The money market rate of interest, because the risk you're at then is you're not going to have enough money when you retire.
Mm-hmm.
And many businesses, plan sponsors, had made that their default option if someone didn't make an active decision because they were afraid that if someone's investment were to go down in the short run, they would have fiduciary risk. Well, the Pension Protection Act takes that away, and it says if you do some very straightforward things, you can provide a qualified default investment alternative. This is jargon, QDIA.
Mm-hmm.
But what it allows individuals to do in a plan is get some exposure to equities and the growth that equities promise over the longer term.
And equities being... Because they are equities, there's some risk there because equities go up and equities go down. There are no guarantees, but we know that over the long haul, equities have produced good returns. But you got to be in it for the long haul to be able to absorb those risks.
And that's exactly right.
And so hold on to that thought, Chuck. I wanted to wrap that up before we went to the break. We're going to come back with the other two issues that Chuck brought up right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, Tintel. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. There's Sweet Baby James bringing us back. We're visiting with our good friend, Sweet Baby Chuck. Chuck Cadlick, Managing Director of J&W Seligman & Company. And Chuck, tell us about your company and how we can contact you guys, or how we can find your products, I guess I should say.
Well, we can certainly visit us at Seligman.com. Or you can talk to any financial advisor. Seligman Group of Funds is offered through... financial advisors, whether wirehouses, Merrill Lynch, Smith Barney, planners, LPL, Royal Alliance, and the like, regional firms, Raymond James, et cetera. And we have a terrific family of funds, best known for our technology fund, communications information fund. We've also introduced some funds that I manage, our target ETF funds, target maturity funds. And,
which are the kind of funds that people often use in the pension plans you were talking about right now?
That's right. They actually are qualified as a qualified default investment alternative, QDIA, in the jargon.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a great example here of what we just talked about. That in the short run you can have volatility, but with some equity exposure, at least you have opportunity for growth. Our core fund, our target ETF fund, Core, it's a balanced fund, a multi-asset class balanced fund, 55% in equities, including international, 10% in equity REIT. We view that as a separate
real estate
asset class, commercial real estate, 35% fixed income. And If you had taken the model that we, the model portfolio of this asset allocation, so using, these are using index returns, not a mutual fund, because we didn't have the fund. But if you had, just for illustrative purposes, if you had invested in that model on October 1st, 1987, mm-hmm. Now we all know that was a bad
Black Monday.
Black Monday. You would have been down almost 12% in that first month.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of 10 years, by September of 1997, you would have had an average annual return, if you had rebalanced annually, which we effectively do, you would have had an average annual return of over 12% a year,
mm-hmm.
including that first month when you were down 12%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, it shows you if you're going to invest in equities, and even in a balanced fund, you have to take a longer-term view.
Right.
Secondly, think of the difference. At 4% a year, it takes 18 years to double your money.
Right.
12% a year, it takes only six. In
mm-hmm.
8 years, you double your money three times. You go from two to four to eight.
Right.
So it makes a tremendous, potentially it can make a tremendous difference.
But it all depends on your horizon, folks, your retirement horizon, what you want the money to do. So that's the first thing, the first issue for the Pension Act. Then the second one.
Makes it simpler to implement because under the rules you can have an automatic investment plan for your employees, and as long as you give them a 30-day notice or a 90-day right to change their mind, you can automatically put them in this QDIA, and they are
mm-hmm.
deemed by regulation, they are deemed to have made an active decision.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that's the third piece, is that you get a fiduciary protection, you get safe harbor protection.
For the employer, so that you don't get hurt by somebody saying that you did something they didn't want you to do.
That's right. Now you're still a fiduciary. Then that you have to use
fiduciary means that you fiduciary folks means that you're responsible for, you're expected to do what reasonable people would do, and to do the right thing for your people, the people that you who work for you.
Right. And you know what? You have to have an investment policy statement. You have to use.
Right.
You have to choose a default option. Financial
mm-hmm.
advisors are really, really helpful in doing this. It's not that difficult.
Right.
And frankly, they earn way more than their fee by assisting people to get through this.
Right.
But let me tell you kind of one anecdote we have here at Seligman from our experience, because I think this is important to small businessmen and women who care about their employees. We've offered a target date solution in the 401k market for over 10 years. It's a turnkey solution. And where that turnkey solution is offered is called the time horizon.
Mm-hmm.
The average participation rate in those 401ks is 70%,
mm-hmm.
70%, which is more than double what the normal uptake on these kinds of offerings. Secondly,
mm-hmm.
the average account balance for those who elect this target date solution is double those who don't.
Right.
And finally, we have the on the platform, which is run by Ascensus, formerly BISIS, as a transfer agent. They tell us we have the lowest turnover of all 401k providers on their platform with the time horizon. So,
in other
words, it make employees like it. They understand it. It increases participation rates.
And, folks, this is because of the Pension Protection Act, those three new things that we've had since 06 make it easier for small business owners to provide a retirement plan for their employees. So check with your financial advisor and get them to help you understand how the three big advantages of the Pension Protection Act are. And can they find out more about the Pension Protection Act at Seligman.com?
They can, and they could also call Corinne Bilius here, who's head of our marketing. Her phone number is 212-850-1463. She's been kind enough to say she'd accept calls,
Chuck,
from anyone listening to your show.
Gotta go. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.